baby.
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Cheddar Park. Movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It's just so familiar.
It's hilarious. I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cole.
Oh, you bite your tongue if this does not hold up.
Cream corn tonight.
Cream corn tonight.
That should be good corn time. It's a movie. Just wait for the big giveaway at 9.
Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
How's the world treating you, sir?
Oh, you know, 70% humidity and
70%.
Balmy. It's just, you're just damp all the time here.
Yeah, you just have to wait for it to pass. It's like one of those things, and you're like, oh, gosh.
Like, please. I'm ready for it to pass, for sure. How is it in L.A.?
It's hot. Not as hot as it was last week. It is Set Cheddar Saturdays with Robert Patterson. Check out his website, of course, at setcheddar.com. And before we get into what you've been watching, let's just give a shout-out and memoriam to Paul Rubens, who sadly passed away at the age of 70 this past week.
Which was, I don't think his cancer battle was public at all. I think I kind of kept that to himself, which I know a lot of people do. But yeah. I think that's kind of what it made it more shocking.
Right. Yeah. Very shocking. Did not disclose, you know, as a lot of people do, their diagnosis. And did they say what kind of cancer?
I don't believe they did, or not that I heard of. So not too much known about it.
We've talked about him on the show. You've covered his work before.
Yeah, of course. Pee-wee's Big Adventure and Pee-wee's Big Holiday was his last Pee-wee, which I did like. And obviously that's kind of what he's most known for, but obviously he did quite a bit of voice work and some other small roles, and probably second best, or to me, would be Batman Returns.
Right. Me too.
Yeah, which he was great. I remember the time I recognized him, but a lot of people didn't recognize him for some reason. I think he's pretty iconic looking. I mean, you know what I mean? You can.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, it's Paul Rubens.
Yeah. But yeah,
I loved him in Blow. And this is a deep cut, but he was in the music video for Elton John's This Train Don't Stop There Anymore. Stop Here Anymore.
Yeah.
And Justin Timberlake played a young Elton John, and Paul Rubens played, I guess, like his agent or manager. And he's just shuffling from room to room. And the whole thing, his whole performance in that, it's just completely visual, you know. He doesn't speak or anything, so he's just animated the entire time. And to be able to keep that up for 2-3 minutes without, you know, it's like a one shot, one tracking shot video. There's no cuts really. So he just kind of kept that up, and it was just, it wasn't on the map really, that song. I think it was like a hit, minor hit maybe. But just the work he put into like that small cameo in a music video, I just thought was always kind of cool. That he, you know, just a true like craftsman.
Yeah, that's awesome. So
he made it fun to be funny. You know, as a kid, you're like, this is, it was fun to watch him. I remember watching him growing up, obviously, on Saturday morning, and it was Pee-wee, and you didn't know if he was an adult or an adult trapped in a kid's body or like what it was. It was just fun.
Yeah, I dug out my Pee-wee's Playhouse figures that I still have a bunch of them, Cherry and I can't remember all the names of them. So, yeah. So I still have them. So people were offering money right on my page.
Right on your, like right on Facebook?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah. But I'll hold on to them for a little bit longer. But
yeah. Hold on to those for sure. Yeah. So Godspeed, Paul Rubens. He passed away on July 30th of this year. So we will miss him.
And so what you've been watching?
I've been watching Twister, Days of Sniffing Dirt Are Over.
I don't know why that's my go-to line. I think you and my sister have a lot of other lines that you go to, but that's the one I was like.
Well, my go-to is always, Jonas went out and got himself some corporate sponsors. He's in it for the money, not the science. There's no money in tornadoes.
That sounded like a Cherry Jones version of that line.
I love when is it Jamie Gertz? Is that the actress's name? Says, "Oh, I love it. It's cool. What is it? It's great. What is it?" And then he's like, "It's a device used for studying weather patterns or something." You know, two takeaways from that movie I never picked up on before is one is they order a lot of coffee. Well, I mean, like at nighttime, you know, it's like, give us six coffees and we'll take two coffees. I'm like, it is like 9 o'clock at night. Maybe a beer or like a milk.
They were young, you know, they could.
I guess.
Different metabolism, you know, hanging out at the drive-in.
And the other takeaway is Philip Seymour Hoffman is great. He does a good job. And I do love his character, but I feel like it's one degree turned up more on the nose than it should be. You know, I notice there's scenes where he's like, he has like the hat and he's drinking. He's like, "Let's do it." And you're like, "All right, man, like I get it. You're the quirky comic relief guy." But I felt like it was kind of too much.
When we saw it at the movie party last year at Alamo, that it was funny because everybody... some parts are a little too much, especially the food. It's
food.
Like, and there's, I think two or three times they have, "We are definitely not doing that." And then jump cut to whatever they're doing.
Yes.
And I was just like, you know, the third time. All right. You're like, come on. Like,
right. And I love the movie. I'm not criticizing it, but as fans, we can criticize. And I thought,
of course.
I felt like when they were at the dinner table and at the aunt's house, and Jamie Gertz's character Melissa just asks a question that most of it asks, like, "Oh, there's an F4, was there an F5?" Everyone stops and they look and they're like, "Finger of God." It's like that would be like at a table and they're like,
"Yeah,
well, has there ever been a shark bigger than a thresher?" And everyone's like, "A great white." I mean, that wouldn't. They're in the business of tornadoes.
Yeah.
That wouldn't stop the room, but I get why they did.
Only
it.
Mike Brody has seen that. SeaWorld.
Only Mike. But do you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Of course.
They all stop and.
It's what you do. Go.
I do love that movie though. I really do.
It's endearing, and you know, I can't tell you how excited we were to go see that movie in the theater.
Oh, yeah.
Waiting for the previews. It's going to be so good.
It's going to be so good.
Yeah. And sister had this was the radio station days because we wanted to see it early, of course. And she had a call and went all over the place looking for 4 movie tickets for Twister. So it was a big deal at the Patterson house.
Oh, yeah. That was a huge blockbuster. And it was smart, too, because they released that, if I'm not mistaken, in May.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that they're not going to be able to compete really with Independence Day. So it was like a perfect summer. You had Twister, you had a few other movies, and then like Independence Day came out. It was like the blockbuster summer.
And I'm pretty sure now that you're talking about it reminded me, because I remember it was a big deal that like summer is now starting in May. And now summer starts in probably mid-April for movies.
Right.
But it was to make room. For sure. And I remember that was a particularly stormy summer in Nebraska. And I think we had a drive-in that was hit with a tornado either right before the movie came out.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they just didn't show it in that town or something like that, because I think there might have been some deaths or injury. But
oh, yeah.
But yeah, that didn't stop us, though.
That didn't stop us from seeing it. It was Twister. The Rock came out in June and then Independence Day in July. Yeah. So it was like... 96 was really hitting hard.
Yeah, the summer was set.
The summer was set. So, yeah, I watched Twister again, and then I watched the Super Mario Brothers movie. I don't know if that's the exact title of it. It's like a specific title. Let me make sure I get it right. The Super Mario Brothers movie is the name of it. That's on Peacock now.
Oh, is it? Okay, so I can watch it, fall asleep. I've never played the game, so I really don't. I think everything would go over my head, so I'm not sure if I should even watch it.
If you didn't play the games, I don't think you would like it very much.
Okay.
It's not as good as Darby O'Gill.
What could be?
What about you, Robert?
Do they have?
What have you been watching?
I did go to the theater to see Mission Impossible: Dead Reckoning Part 1 before it was scooted out because I heard it had good reviews, and so I really liked it. as you know, we've talked about Tom Cruise before, that I'm not really a fan of him personally, but I'm a fan of his love for movies and kind of what he, you know, he brings his game to every movie that he's in. So
totally.
It got good reviews, much deserved. It's not making the money it should, which is unfortunate. But yeah, so I really liked it. It's enough that
I like to hear that.
You know, you're invested because you're kind of like you know, different chase scenes or whatever, and you're tense, and obviously he's gonna be fine. It's, you know, you're halfway into the movie. Nothing's gonna happen to Tom Cruise.
Nothing's gonna happen.
but they do a good job, and it kind of reminded me, like, this is the way it's compared to, let's say, Indiana Jones. This is the way chase scenes should be done. So you kind of know where they're at, you know what's going on. It doesn't seem blue screen, you know, everything seems to be pretty real, you know, actual stunt people doing things. So that was good.
Which I like. It is nice in this day and age to see that, you know?
Yeah. I watched Orca for some reason, even so it was Shark Week, but I decided to watch Orca.
Richard Harris.
Yes. I don't know. I don't think I've seen it through. I've probably seen it through from beginning to end once. And I thought, let me get a revisit to this. It was actually better than I remembered. That as an adult, I had to kind of give it some time. You know, I think when you're younger, like, not enough's happening. They're talking too much. Who cares?
Right.
You know, this whale's taking it personally. way before.
And the whale, it is, you do root for the whale because of how they killed its mate, I think?
Yeah.
So.
And its mate's unborn baby.
Right.
It was just kind of disgusting the way that all that happens.
Yeah.
But
what was it streaming on, or did you like?
It was streaming on something. I can't remember what it was, but so I thought, let me watch this. And then I do remember, because I'm like, obviously I've probably kind of seen it on TV as a kid. I was horrified at Bo Derek loses her leg more or less. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Those things disturb me. But I was like, oh, no wonder I had some issues as a child.
Orca. I remember the ending of it, where the whale, like, they, Richard Harris gets killed. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert. And the whale just kind of goes away. Like, it's happy, right? Like, it's not happy, but it's like mission accomplished.
Mission
it's done.
Accomplished. Yeah. But it's a good, you know, and they actually did a decent job with special effects, I thought. And but yeah, nothing like the poster, because remember the poster was a big deal, because they made the whale look huge, you know, attacking the village in the poster. And it's
look, and I'll share it with the listeners.
It's not that big, but
oh yeah, I see. It's,
yeah,
it's like the size of like three school buses.
Yeah, it's like it's attacking a village. It's on land, seemingly. I don't know, but but yeah, because you know, as a kid, you're like, oh, right, that seems fantastic. That's not happening. That doesn't really happen in the movie at all, but
no.
But yeah, so actually it was more enjoyable than I thought. So,
oh, good.
I also got into my head. I was watching some YouTube video, and they said something about Alias, and Alias is one of my favorite TV shows, and I actually even have an Alias tattoo of the.
Oh yeah, you do.
Yeah, have you watched
it? No, I haven't watched it. Okay.
So you have the Rambaldi sign that Jennifer Garner actually took a picture of. Jennifer Garner took a picture of my leg when I met
her. She did take a picture. You were telling us about that before. Yeah. That's so cool.
So I thought, you know, let me revisit the series. It's still only on DVD. And I have actually, I think I have it right here. I can show you. So it came in a Rambaldi box. This is the box.
That's cool.
Yeah, they don't make box sets like this anymore. So it kind of opens up and all the things kind of are there. It has a secret compartment and everything. So unfortunately now, not I say not unfortunately, but as I'm watching, I'm like, I should do all of these locations. So I think I'm making a big mistake where I'm like, let me do 5 seasons of a TV series locations.
It's made out of, by the way.
I feel like I have to, you know.
What's the box made out of?
It's like it's cardboard-ish, but it's silver gold foil.
I gotcha.
Yeah, type thing. Okay. So it's actually a decent, nice box that it was a big deal to kind of get at the time. I remember when I first watched it, because I didn't watch it live until about halfway through the series, and it was during Netflix days from sending DVDs back and forth, and I'd be like, you'd watch like the cliffhanger. I'm like, I can't wait a week to see what happened. So
yeah, right. It's like exciting. And then sometimes it would fall in like when they didn't used to deliver mail on Sundays and you're like, you're waiting an extra day. You'd have to like time it right. If you there used to be a system, if you timed it right, you could get like two movies a week or something like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you pay a little bit more. You can get
right.
Two at a time.
Do you miss those days, or are you glad it's all streaming?
I still like some physical media. I usually need physical media to get good screenshots, for sure. But but yeah, I like it a little bit.
Good call.
And there's extras, you know, there's commentary on here, which is helpful to kind of hear them, which they really just don't do anymore. They don't either have the time or money to do that. But yeah, so it's still, there's still some shocking moments. I was like, oh, I forgot this was a big deal.
Yeah, big deal.
But yeah. And I also went back to the theater to see Barbie.
Oh, you saw Barbie? How is it?
I did. It was, I saw it last weekend. So I think it was weekend number two. So it was fine. You know, it was good enough. So I enjoyed it and laughed a little and had some, you know, amusing parts or whatever.
Nice.
Now it's not, I wasn't falling over in love with it like other people are. But it was, like, one, I was kind of, it was neat to see, like, even, like, we had to pick a different showing because the first showing was sold out, which in a week two movie is just unheard of. And it was playing, like, in four of the eight theaters at the complex at Alamo.
Oh, wow.
And it was actually, I don't know, it seems too sentimental. It was nice to see people coming together in groups and families and all in pink and having a group time. Which I can't remember the last time a movie has kind of done that, where everybody kind of goes together.
That's nice.
So it was nice to see that.
It's like a lost time.
It was. I was like, oh, everybody's coming, multi-generations. I think, and that's where, I mean, I think in a matter of days, it's going to be a $1 billion movie, which.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's cleaning up.
Yeah.
No joke.
Good for her. Good for Greta Gerwig. Good for future female directors to hopefully kind of pave the way.
I hope so. Yeah, I'm excited to see it. I've heard really good things about it, and that it does it right. Timing's good and everything.
Yeah, and of course I'm scurrying down different locations. I'm like,
you have to.
I was like, that's not the Venice police station.
Did you find a lot of good shots?
There's a couple that bugged me, like the Venice police station. I knew it wasn't the Venice police station, but I'm like, it looks familiar to me, so I did figure that out. So. Which I probably should pay more attention, because I'm like, I'm taking my mental snapshots in my mind.
As you're doing it, it's like you blink your eyes.
Yeah.
And it's happening.
But yeah, so it was good. I think that's about all I've watched. Like I said, I ran through season one of Alias already, and I'm into season two. So
nice. It's exciting to rewatch a show that you love, and then you're like, oh, I remember this. I remember this.
All Sydney Bristow, all the time.
All the time. Well, that's what you've been watching, and we got a special treat, everybody. We're going to get into one of our favorite movies in the franchise, Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives.
Jason Lives.
Now, this was released on August 1st, 1986. Robert's, he just posted on social media a few days ago, the anniversary.
Yeah, I was a whopping 16 years old.
It's a great time to be alive.
It was.
And that age.
I remember seeing it in theater opening night. I was excited because, you know, Jason's back.
Jason's back. And they made it a point to put Jason Lives in the title because of after five. They're like, we're not going to do this again.
Yeah,
like,
we don't want any confusion. So
it's him.
But yeah, so so I remember my experiences, like it was by that point, the franchise had moved, or this particular one kind of moved it into even more mainstream. So people were there just literally have a good time. So I remember a lot of laughter and so forth. But, and I remember at the time I was a little upset because I'm like, part five was like the last dirty, gritty one. And I was like, oh, this is kind of slick. You know, it was, they made it slick on purpose.
It was glossed up.
Yeah, and it was practically, I'd say PG-13 based on... So the lack of blood and guts. There's a little bit of gore into it, and people are still, ooh, and I'm like, come on, this is nothing. But yeah, so but yeah, I was excited to see, I see Jason back. And so this became, he was what do you call it, zombie Jason now. So kind of less than human. It kind of, now it's kind of the new supernatural version. So
yeah, it's kind of the next entry in his metamorphosis.
When do you remember seeing it?
I saw it. I didn't see it theatrically because I was four.
Of course.
Or five. So obviously I did see it opening night at that age.
Yeah, they just were like, come on.
I saw it. I want to say, so I watched all the Friday the 13th relatively close at the same time back in the early 90s. So I don't remember which entry this was, but I remember watching it. And then I thought it was cool that they were like, as a kid, they're like, oh, they changed the name to Camp Forest Green. That'll that'll bring back people. That makes sense. Because it was before like the internet. So you're like, yeah, that's a good idea. No one will be able to find out.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool. I thought it was.
It's like Canoga Park. What? It's Woodland Hills.
And it's Canoga Park. Yeah. I think so. Part six is the third actor that would have played Tommy Jarvis, right?
Correct.
And the final.
Yeah, I don't think he ever. Yeah, correct. That is correct. So, which, yeah, obviously Corey Feldman began it and John Shepherd was in part five. So part six was supposed to be a direct continuation. I think they all had in their contract to come back. And we're assuming they were kind of go down that path of probably Tommy being the killer. And then I think probably kind of based on, I can't imagine fan feedback, but probably more box office figures. That's why they decided to go down a different route, bring Jason back and kind of get not a good director, but you know, different kind of director of a Tom McLaughlin to come in and do it. So, but I would have I still would have enjoyed the little bit of continuity of maybe killing off Pam and Reggie in the opening scenes like they had originally intended. And I'm fine with moving on. I mean, Tom Matthews makes a great Tommy Jarvis, and I thought he was really good in that.
I thought so. And I like the locations a lot. And your page, which we'll get into in a little bit, is, as you know, like my favorite entry on setcheddar.com. So I'm very excited to cover this again. But I feel like we've seen those locations in other other films in recent years. Especially
many.
The camp.
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously Covington, Georgia is used. Obviously before... before Friday the 13th, obviously it was used in the Heat of the Night and Dukes of Hazzard. So it was already kind of a go-to small town place in Georgia. And of course now with the tax rebate. Yeah, tax breaks for film.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 and Dr. Sleep and Vampire Diaries, and everything is, you could just
it's
spot
a go-to.
Covington, Georgia. Yeah. But, and yeah, it's like, it looks more, obviously, it is more East Coast than parts 3, 4, 5 for the West Coast Crystal Lake of New Jersey.
Yeah.
They put up a New Jersey sign. And I'm like, well, they are driving by palm trees.
Right. It's just a palm tree. It's like, welcome to Jersey. You're like, okay.
Santa Clarita, New Jersey.
I'm gonna kick off this entry, Santa Clarita, New Jersey, by watching the original theatrical release trailer, if that's okay.
All right, let's see it.
Alrighty, you're watching the trailer of Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives. Is that the same bell from Top Gun?
It is. Same year.
Thank you.
That's what we call a teaser trailer. That was kind of a Cloverfield. They didn't even say what it is. I mean, they didn't even put the title.
Yeah, and there was why doesn't Jason have a death date on there?
I don't know.
Question though, what am I looking at right here? Do you see where my pointer is?
Yes.
So what is in the casket? I think it's
empty. So okay. I think it's an empty casket, is if I remember. So I forgot there was a teaser trailer that they shot specifically for the film.
And this was just, this was before the actual trailer?
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't remember. And so obviously, I try to remember the actual trailer. I remember more of the TV spots because I would have to, I'd be up all night, you know, watching different things, looking for a TV spot. So they might have another trailer.
If you okay. want to
try, like that one that you were just on with the trees, that might be a TV spot, but.
This guy right here.
Go down a little bit. Good. Go up. Sorry. You can edit all this out. Go up, 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 up. I see trailer HD.
I think this is the same one.
Yeah, above the poster. Above, right there. What's that?
Oh, this is somebody. It says, this is my modernized.
Oh, it's made up. Okay. I can't see the
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
If it's modernized, yeah, we don't need to see it because then that's all made up. It wasn't like that in 86. But so here's what I remember the TV spots because I only got 30 seconds at a time to fill in all the blanks of what's going on, you know, because I remember there were trees and everything. And I was like, and I would like try to dissect every little kind of piece. I'm like, what's it going to be about?
What's it going to be about? Of course, it's exciting. It's a new entry in this great franchise.
Yeah.
I have another clip I was going to share.
Yeah.
This is the paintball massacre scene. what's your thoughts on this?
Well, let's take a look and then.
All right. This is also from Friday the 13th, Part 6, paintball massacre scene.
You don't know for sure. What about Roy? Nobody's seen him.
Of course not. If he hasn't accidentally pelleted himself, I'm sure he's lost.
Yeah, well, the game's not over till it's over.
Yeah, that's right.
Shh.
Wait a second. What was that?
What? Nothing.
I could swear I heard something.
I'm hungry.
Oh, God.
Be quiet.
Now, don't forget, kids, if you go paintballing, don't forget to wear your science goggles.
Well, it's important. There's safety first. So that scene actually has the original Jason that they had on the set for 1 or 2 days. And they.
Oh, right. Because they did a switcheroo.
Producers saw that feed and they're like, no. And so that's why that Jason does. You can kind of tell it looks a little different. He has some nice tight pants going on.
Right. It's more form fitting.
Yeah. And CJ Graham ended up taking over probably a much better Jason. But obviously they knew right away, like, oh, this is not going to work. So a couple of things like one, that scene was supposed to be a big deal. It was supposed to be, they had it rigged up to actually show the three beheadings. So it was going to be they're trying to up their game. Obviously you don't see anything, you know, bodies kind of fall away. Two, I remember the people chuckling in the theater and that part of me is also kind of like, it hit me because I'm like, oh, this is not my, it's not the Jason I grew up with. You know what I mean? You know, now we're kind of laughing. Not at, you know, like at the scenario, whatever. He's not scary anymore. You
know? Right. Yeah, it's different.
He got hit with a paintball and he does a double take. Like, you know what? So, yeah. So
it's
that's
fun.
Like,
it's fun. Yeah, it's a lot it's different fun. Than what you're and used to.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, okay, we've moved on from.
Right. yeah, there's a little good comic relief in there. And I like the scene that it's in broad daylight, you know?
Yeah.
Which switches it up a little bit. This next scene is, the title of it is, "There's a Problem, Officer." Do you know the scene, Robert?
I don't know, but I'll have to, I'm not, the clue isn't helping me. Is it about his daughter? All right. Well, should I just see?
You're in luck. We're gonna play it right now.
It's Batman utility belt.
Hey!
Right in the canoe.
Convenient. So, one, I always appreciate Harry Manfredini's original music score.
Yeah,
which is,
good call.
Is great. He was not present for Seven. They used the guy that did Friday the 13th, the series, which had the oddest opening credits ever. And then they would still do some needle drops in the original soundtrack and blur it all. It's like, what is going on? But
what is happening? But,
yeah. So one, this movie looks great. You know, this is probably the best any Friday the 13th had looked up until that time, or even kind of moving forward. But yeah,
I think so.
I do forget. Yeah, he had his whole utility belt of stuff this time to pull out, like, oh, I got a hook here. You know, I'll just.
I do like the utility belt.
Yeah.
It's like, not only am I not going to carry this, but I have options. Like, ooh, security guard late at night. Let's go with the arrow.
I was like, I should have had a smock the whole time. I could just carry all my stuff.
He's learning how to use tools effectively at this point.
It's also reminded that this is the first time, not that we've not seen kids. You saw some couple kids in the opening scene of the original Friday the 13th, but this is the first time kids are at camp.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I think people were kind of worried, like, oh, you know, kids, they never really are put in harm's way or kind of appear to be put in harm's way. You're never kind of worried something's actually going to happen to a kid. But it was kind of nice to see that there, so.
Because you remember the scene there where he comes in, he doesn't hurt the girl and the little kid, and you're kind of like, oh, they're okay. Nothing's going to happen to those kids.
Every time, she prays him away. And I do, speaking of kids, they have little kind of giveaways. Like, I know, you know, the kids are sleeping and, you know, one kid has some whatever and one kid's is reading No Exit. You know, like, they have all these little weird Easter eggs things about the kids, and the two boys are under the bed. I think we're dead meat.
Dead meat. Let me ask you this, Robert.
Yeah.
Trivia question that I'm curious about, because I don't know the answer. Aside, because we mentioned Tommy Jarvis, aside from Alice in the first two films, is Tommy Jarvis the only recurring character aside from Jason in the franchise? I can't think of anybody else.
Think so, if you don't count flashbacks of stuff that's already filmed or kind of reusing audio. I will say Kimberly Beck, at least audio wise, shows up in part 5 and part 6, the best final girl ever.
Right.
You go, Tommy!
Right. Tommy!
my favorite final girl forever. I don't think so. You're catching me off guard. And probably, nobody from Jason Takes Manhattan went on to future sequels, or at least legitimate. No, fan-made movies do not count.
They do not count.
Yes.
Before we get into the website, your locations, I'm going to share one more clip from the movie. This is the burning boat battle scene, Robert. Mm. This takes you back to 16-year-old Robert, doesn't it? Okay.
I probably wasn't even shaving yet. I'm pretty sure that rock would sink that boat.
Thank you.
got quite a left hook. Do something. I like that she does cover her mouth. I can't make a noise.
That's right. I mean, even I haven't seen that the movie in a long time. I still remember that. Like, for what? I'm like, plus you're 60 yards away. Come on.
Right. Shouldn't you be screaming, actually?
No. He helped her and she does nothing for him. No, she does go out and save him. So one, the scene looks great. Obviously, fire in the water and obviously we have to suspend some, like, one, as an adult, I'm like, there's no way he would get that rock into that boat.
Not to mention he gets the match, the flint lit from the match from the, like, the wet dry wood on it.
And his location, I was like, I think that one scene is probably in four different locations to make all that work, which is fine. But this was a big deal for a Friday 13th, kind of this kind of stunt work and the way it looked and everything. It was not your usual axe in the head.
Right. Yeah. No, they upped the game a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you feel like this movie, what does this rank in your Friday the 13th listings?
Probably in the middle somewhere. So
yeah,
I know a lot of people, it is their favorite. And I was like, I'm still, you know, original, four are kind of my go-tos.
Yeah.
But I did bring some, I brought out some paraphernalia that I've had since 1986.
Oh, hell yeah.
This is the novelization.
Oh, that's so cool. Wow.
Yeah.
Is that, so he's underwater there?
No, this is like lightning.
Oh, I got you. I got
machete
you.
And so forth. So
yeah. Oh, that's so cool. It's a good shape too.
Yeah, near the end, or on the back, it's talking about Jason. The mysterious boy possessed out of devil's power has been laid to rest, and the inhabitants of a small New England town shudder with relief.
Is it New England?
Well, or Georgia, yeah. So so this, I remember, and they actually have a couple photos inside the cover.
Oh, cool.
And my favorite thing, it says, actual photos from Friday, from the film.
Actual photos. Actual, we didn't just photos, make these
so,
up.
Yeah. So so I remember at the time it was a big deal because the last chapter in here had the original, it came from the original script. So Jason's father shows up to the graveyard in the final
oh.
scene. So Martin, the caretaker, who got killed in the reshoots, they needed a couple more deaths. So but he lived in the original script, and then Jason's father came, and Martin says something about, I've been taking good care of your wife's and son's graves and so forth. And he's supposed to be kind of this silent, almost kind of man in black figure. So as a fan, that was kind of exciting to see. And exciting that we got a novelization, because we didn't get one for part four or five. Just part three.
That is cool. Yeah.
Now, they did come out with more novelizations later that were different from the original trilogy, so this is one of my originals picked up.
What do you mean more novelizations later, like from the first,
like they films? They made novelizations of part one, two, and three like a year or two later, and so it was a different part three novelization than I was originally. So I have a 45 record of Alice Cooper.
Oh, nice.
The man behind the mask. So
that is so cool.
Official video for a Friday the 13th.
What is what's on the record, the actual record itself? Does it have any artwork, or is it just standard?
No, it's just a standard.
Yeah.
MCA rainbow. So this was
classic.
You know, I think this is what probably begat, you know, the following year we had Dream Warriors for Nightmare on Elm Street. So this is where they were intentionally putting songs, but this one was made for Friday 13th. So, and it had a fun music video, you know, at the time with Alice.
And Cooper. You had that when it originally came out, obviously.
Oh, yeah. So I had to buy the 45.
He's back.
It was a big, it's like, woo, everything's legitimate now. So,
yeah, of course.
And then we have the Friday 13th Part 6 press kit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that is so awesome.
So we got a bunch of photos and the production handbook in here with all the Paramount.
Is that photo Tom Matthews? I can't see.
It is. Yeah, these probably have not been taken out of their case since 1986. So they usually have a little who's in the picture thing, and then they have an actual picture for
David Kagan and Tom Matthews.
Yep. Like, who's in this picture? Got Jason getting some gasoline splashed on him.
Oh, that is so cool.
Ron Polito.
Oh, hell yeah.
Corey Feldman grew up to be pretty nice looking.
Yeah, he took care of himself, yeah. Obviously.
Oh, here's your scene of the...
There it is.
Let me see what else we got.
Oh, that is so cool.
Behind the scenes photo, and then Sheriff getting kind of crunched in half. So,
oh yeah,
but yeah. So, yeah. Oh, so cool. I literally don't think these have been out of the plastic since 1986.
Jennifer Cook, who played Megan in there,
yes,
was she in any other horror films that are like noteworthy?
She was in V, the series.
Right. Okay.
So she, if you remember V, the Final Battle, there was a little blonde girl.
Vaguely, but yes.
She did a quick grow up like they do, like, oh, she's an alien, so she grew up three times as fast. And so she that was, I think that was the job that got her this job in Friday the 13th. So so she did a good job, but I really don't know if I count her as the final girl, because Tommy's the final girl in this one. So
right. Yeah. Now I do like that you have the press kit though. That is really cool and interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's all we had at the time. That's all the.
I wish we still had stuff like that. Yeah. When you watched this originally, what was your takeaway from it? Like, as a lad.
Even at 16, I thought this was a little too slick for me.
Yeah.
You know.
It does definitely look. You have that look, and you can tell it's glossed up. And you look at 5, which is more gritty, and yeah, it's very, very like. Glossed over.
I was starting my movie snobness, you know, at that time, I think, as well, because so that was the same year, you know, Top Gun came out. You talked about the gong, you know, because it does sing the same thing as their, you know,
It's the same
the aircraft carrier. Yeah. And I remember refused to see Top Gun, you know, like I was like, oh, that's too mainstream for me.
Yeah.
As that snooty 16-year-old that was into films. But yeah, I mean, of course, I love my horror movies and still. I mean, it was an exciting summer. I mean, you had this and The Fly and Psycho 3. So
it is a great summer for horror movies.
It was a good summer. So
Jason Lives, I feel like they have so many different, like, there's more character actors in this one, I feel like, than in other movies, but they're not used to their full potential. Like, they could do a little bit more.
Yeah. Tom Fridley, those ripped jeans.
Yeah. Those ripped jeans. I want to share the set setting.
Mom or a sewing machine.
Mom or a sewing. I want Tom Fridley. He was Carter. Court.
Just
yeah.
How much longer in the song? Just 10 more minutes. I can't remember how long ago. And yeah, so, and there were funny lines because you know Jason takes electricity out. And he's like, "Court, you didn't. What? Wasn't that the end of the song?
Today marks the anniversary, not today, but on Robert's page, marks the anniversary of Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives, released August 1st, 1986, as I mentioned. Robert visited these locations several years ago, but just now getting around to posting them. Although the first two were shot on the East Coast, the next three were shot in California. This time, we head to Georgia to stand in for Crystal Lake, Forest Green, which is a great description. And this is setchitter.com. This is a great, great page. So let's make it bigger so our old eyes can see it properly.
What are we looking at here?
What are we looking at? Let's start with the police station, Robert. This is in Covington.
Yeah, so this is actually just a couple blocks down from where I stay. I stayed at the Airbnb where they shot Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 and Vacation. And so this was just a walking distance. I went down to take some pictures and get some ice cream. Police station, not much has changed. So it kind of
no. Oh, real quick for reference, when did you take these photos?
I have no idea. 2017 or possibly okay. around that
in that
time.
Frame.
Yeah, in that time frame. Yeah. So.
And here it is. Here's the entrance to the camp.
Yes. Yeah, so this the Hard Library Creek State Park, which if you catch them on the right day and nobody's renting it out, they are super nice. So you have to go kind of to the opposite their main place, and they're like, can I see the camp? And they're like, here's the keys to get into the gate.
Yeah, so I can't believe that. It was just like, here you go.
Nice. And yeah, which is kind of strange. Like, all right. They didn't even take my ID or anything, I don't think.
Not now, though, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, this was only a few years ago, and I think other people have pretty good luck. So, but yeah. If you check out, I think it's is it Myers House Museum or whatever it's called? They do some screenings and have special events at this camp. So yeah, so I just like that I was the only one there and just kind of free reign of the camp and tried to be nice and take some pictures and not
and
disturb
you got
anything.
In.
Yeah. So
yeah. This is a road. This is in the truck. This is right outside the camp.
Yep. Yep. So this is kind of he actually is driving. He was supposed to be driving to the cemetery, but he's actually kind of driving into the camp. So if you turn right instead of left, that's where the headquarters are. So.
Okay, cool.
Yep, so cemetery is kind of a mix of places. So they actually do cross the railroad. And then they did build up a fake entrance because there's no entrance there.
Which you can see right here.
Yes.
And the name of the, what's the name of the cemetery?
I do not remember, but it's in Madison, Georgia, so it's not.
Eternal Peace.
Eternal Peace.
Is what it says in the movie.
Oh, I mean. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it was a little, it was big enough. I was kind of running around trying to find the exact spots that they kind of do a run around. Now where Jason is actually, the grave used in the movie is not in the cemetery at all. It's kind of right outside a farm. There's really, I didn't go there. There's not too much to see.
Not too much to see.
They did not dig up an empty spot in an actual graveyard.
So. No, they had a little class. Kudos to the police uniforms. They did do a consistent job.
Phew. That's the important
part. So you can rest assured it's fine.
Matthews,
it's okay.
So, yeah.
This is the approximately spot for the shot. You can no longer see the water tower in the background. You can see here that I assume is still there. It's just you can't see it anymore.
Yeah. So this was, I think, yeah, I had, maybe it was 2016 because I went down to Atlanta to do Stranger Things locations. And I think like 2 weeks after Stranger Things came out. So this would be 2016. So, but I did the same thing where I took the water tower. I found the water tower and then went backwards to find the exit, but
good sleuthing.
Yeah. Now next I know is your favorite location.
This is, I don't know how many times I am going to do this, but this won't be the last. This is my favorite shot on all of Robert's visiting jetting locations ever. And you're looking at it, you're like, okay, it's like, you know, a rundown general store. Why is it your favorite? Because when I first started like getting into setjetter.com, I looked at the map of where these were, because Robert posted the locations, and it's like out in the middle of nowhere, and he found this page, and he took the time to go there and shoot it. And it's just, one, it shows you how great Robert is and dedicated, but two, it's cool movie magic. It's just a rundown like general store. It's nothing great, but it like serves the part. They do the extra mile to name it Karloff's, obviously not a Boris Karloff. And it's just cool. It's just so cool that you got it. And I don't have the map handy. I'll be making sure it later, but it is like just out there and you found it.
Yeah. I don't know if I found this one or I just went to it to be
when
honest.
You went
I went to it at the very least, but we can so go to the map at the very end, but,
okay.
But yeah. So, so I know you appreciate that one.
And it's abandoned now, I'd imagine. It looks
maybe it's a coffee shop now. Who knows?
Who knows? Back to the police department.
Yep. So, and this is where you kind of get a good shot of downtown Covington, which used in many, many films. So obviously in Dr. Sleep, they were right in the park by that The kind of city building that you see behind.
Oh, was that where that was?
Yep. So that's where the little train thing was built up. And then Laurie Strode in Halloween 2 kind of walks through that park to when
that
Sheriff
Brackett
bumps into her. I'm trying to
remember. Yeah.
It's a big Vampire Diaries thing. But yeah, there's just a lot that they shoot in.
They take advantage.
Yeah. So
here's the famous dock, which miraculously still looks the same.
It looks about the same. I'm sure it's...
Aside from the lights,
a couple of times. So a couple of the trees are gone, which happens, I suppose. But yeah. So it was kind of fun, you know, to walk out on the dock, and I could do my Megan run across the dock. In her boots, she does a nice dive into the water.
She does do a nice dive.
Yeah.
If you look on the foreground here, or the background, I mean, the cabin here, is that what this is in the? In the movie shot, that like silhouette in the back, or is that?
I don't know. I don't see a silhouette, but maybe.
Okay, but this.
But yeah, the cabins look essentially the same.
They look pretty much the same. Yeah. Now, this camp today, is it a functioning camp, or is it like, what is it used for?
You can rent. I know because families rent it out. You know. And so forth. It's a state park, so it's
it's public and you can rent it out.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and that's why they do have some special events there for.
Oh, I should have got married there.
Yeah, it would have been a nice place.
It's cool.
Got married in Fire on the Lake. And set the lake on fire.
Would you pay money to stay here? Like, do you care as much?
I don't care as much to stay here. Or I don't know if I'd stay in a camp. It might be fun to be there at night. I don't know if I want to be there at night with 40 other fans either. But
right, that's what I'm thinking. But I feel like at night you could have fun.
Yeah. Oh, if I could do it, I'd just run out the camp personally. So.
Oh yeah.
No people.
Really cool shots.
I'd invite you at least. Yeah. So.
CJ Graham as Jason Voorhees. Where did you meet CJ?
I don't know. And now that we're going through, I've met a lot more people since I put this page together. So that was at, I think, Texas Frightmare. So,
okay.
Darcy DeMoss and Tom Matthews, looking good, aging well.
Very much.
Tony Goldwyn, who actually became a
more
mainstream actor. So I met him at one of the Broadway shows.
Oh, nice.
Nancy McLaughlin is in the movie. She plays Lizbeth. She's the one... She's in the scene with Tony Goldwyn, where they get. I've seen enough scary movies that you know.
Right.
So that was his wife, I think, at the time. I don't think they're no longer married.
Yeah.
And Tom McLaughlin. So that was this last picture was of him at H4O, the Halloween 40 convention.
Oh, okay, cool. That's cool.
If you go to Hollywood Forever Cemetery, he had us already bought his spot. There, so, and it's not hard to find because his is the only one in red.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
everything else
has black, so you can't miss it. So he wrote and directed One Dark Night, and so he said he would write. I think he wrote part of Part 6 in the Hollywood Forever Cemetery for inspiration. Yeah.
What is the quote from Peter Pan? To die, still be on, rightfully big adventure.
I think so. It's a little hard to read. To die will be an awfully big adventure.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, it's morbid, but it's cool.
You know, so.
We'll be doing that 5 more times in our lives, I'm sure. That's a great page, though.
You can't get enough. I know you can't.
I can't. Do you have any Friday the 13th Part 6 photos from your visits that you haven't posted?
No.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you have a lot, but like locations that you haven't?
No, I just met, they had a few more of the cast last year at the HorrorCon that I had not met before. So I was adding, I did bring my Crystal Lake Memories book for them to sign. The officer, I can't remember his name. He's the one like, wherever the red dot goes, you bang, you know.
Where the red dot goes.
Yeah. And he was also in Shocker, Wes Craven's Shocker. So I need to add some.
Oh yeah,
I need to add some of the stars back on my page.
I saw Shocker accidentally as a kid. Boy, that scared me for a little bit. I watched a lot of weird stuff when like my parents were gone that I shouldn't have watched, like Shocker.
It make you stronger now?
I'm very stronger now. Electricity.
I'm not scared of electricity.
I'm not scared of electricity. And finally, since we covered Friday the 13th, that's going to fill in for Blind Man's Bluff, because we can't match the greatness of Friday the 13th, Part 6. We're going to close out with a Guess the Movie by Tagline, Robert, and I got a hard one for you. It's going to hurt.
All right.
If you have time.
It's going to hurt.
Okay, it's an off year, all right? So I'm going to start off with a softball question, and this will set the stage for the entirety of this segment. Are you ready?
I think so. I'm preparing my brain.
Prepare your brain. Number one is the Star Wars saga continues.
Oh, so it's either...
Could be anything.
It's either 1999 prequel or The Force Awakens. So I will go with a prequel, maybe. The Phantom Menace?
It would be The Empire Strikes Back.
Okay. For some reason, I was different directions for some reason. So we're talking about 1980.
1980, folks.
All right.
So that could go any. That could be anyone. So that's
zero.
That's
zero and one. Here I go.
Okay. So ready. Number two is, which would you rather punch, the clock or your boss? These are all for fun.
9 to 5.
Yes, sir. Oof. Good job.
10 years old. I knew what was going on.
10 years old. You had it.
I saw that in the theater multiple times.
I do love that 95 is one of your favorite movies. I think it is, right?
Isn't it everybody's? I don't.
It
I
is
don't,
fun. Yeah, it is
I
fun.
I love it, yeah.
Number three, the in-flight comedy that airlines won't show.
Airplane.
Yes. Yes, it is. And in-flight is in all caps. Point.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, with the exactly.
I think I might have saw this in the theater, too, even though it was probably not quite appropriate. But
so good.
I thought it was hilarious. As a kid,
yeah,
the other jokes go over your head, and the other stuff you're just kind of laughing at. You think it's
I know. It's, yes. Yeah. It's so much fun. Number four, the most dangerous combination since nitro and glycerin. It's a comedy. Put it
okay.
That way.
Is it Modern Problems? No.
It is not Modern Problems.
Okay.
I'll give you a hint. It's an SNL sketch turned film.
In 1980?
Yeah. I'm 99% sure it was SNL, but it's two SNL actors, so I think it was.
Nitro. Say it again, please. Can you repeat the question?
The most dangerous combination since nitro and glycerin. Heavily filmed in the Chicago area.
Blues Brothers.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And I think that mall was in Pennsylvania, or am I wrong?
It might have been. I don't know. I thought it was a weird science type of a film that we were going after, but now it makes sense. So.
And don't even
get me started on Blues Brothers 2000.
Oh. Can't do
I've
it.
I've talked so about bad. That before. I so vividly remember Wag the Dog and some lady cackling at the Blues Brothers 2000 trailer.
I do remember.
I was like, I'm not going to have a good time at this movie. So I always had a friend who's like, they haven't seen a movie since Smoking the Bandit Part 2.
Aretha Franklin was in there. Like, it was just so weird. Oof. Not that she's weird, just her in there. It was like
in there is not right, yeah. But like putting Dionne Warwick in a Liza Minnelli Burt Reynolds movie.
The next tagline is, "The army was no laughing matter."
Private Benjamin.
There you go.
Okay.
Until Judy Benjamin joined it.
I didn't even need that. I didn't even need Judy. Judy Benjamin.
That is funny.
Private Benjamin is one of my favorite movies as well. So I was into all the R-rated movies when I was 10. I think that was the first R-rated movie that my parents let me watch.
Private Benjamin was?
On purpose, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's a cool one.
I was probably 11 by the time it came out on cable.
So. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Okay, number six is, only these two pigeons could dress up as woodpeckers.
Stir Crazy?
Yes. Good call. Ooh,
thank you.
good job. The Bandit is back and better than ever.
So that should be Smokey and the Bandit Part 2.
Yes, sir.
Is it weird that I had already mentioned Smokey and the Bandit Part 2?
No, but it's weird ago. that they made the tagline and better than ever, really.
Well, really? That's what kind of synced it in me, because in Smokey and the Bandit Part 3, Burt Reynolds was not in it. He just had a cameo in it, so that's why I was listening.
Oh, right, right.
I can remember the time frame, so. Also saw that in the theater, yeah.
That is funny. Number 8 is, two children are shipwrecked alone on a lost...
The Blue Lagoon.
Tropical island. Yes, sir. What are your thoughts on this? I feel like we just talked about
this. We did talk about that, because I did a revisit of this several weeks ago, because I'm always like, wait, what? And I remember, I think it was in the news, where Brooke Shields was kind of talking,
right.
You know, and I thought, well, let me revisit this to see, you know, was it smut? You know, it's not a good film, you know, but
no.
But now it does seem pretty tame. At the time, it was pretty salacious. But
yeah, at the time.
Yeah.
At the time. Number 9 is, everything is in its proper place except the past.
Oh, this might stump me. Is it somewhere in time?
I'll give you a hint. It's considered, and I happen to agree, this film... one of the biggest upsets. It won an award that clearly should have went to another movie. It won the Academy Award for, I think, Best Picture, when this should not have been the Best Picture of 1980. It should have went to Raging Bull.
Tell me to say the tagline again.
Everything in its proper place except the past. It is a novelization, too, which the novel actually is pretty good. The movie's okay.
For 1980, I don't know. Is it Chariots of Fire? Or
Ordinary People.
Ordinary People. Oh, gotcha. Yeah, well, high drama, you know.
Yeah. I like the book a lot.
Yeah.
Movie's good, I guess, but it should have went to Raging Bull in that year.
Yeah.
He's a man. Or, I'm sorry, he's a man's man. He's a ladies' man. He's a family man. He's a sailor man.
Popeye.
Shelley Duvall's finest film.
Oh, my friend would be so happy. He loves to talk about Shelley Duvall.
You know, really?
Yes.
You know, Popeye's Village is still around. It's still like a set.
I do. And I was just talking about her mother in the movie. It's played by Roberta Maxwell, who was in Psycho 3. She played Tracy Venable. So, I was just talking about this with somebody. So anyway, Roberta Maxwell, I was really excited because she was in the very last scene of Brokeback Mountain. She was the mother of Heath Ledger. And so where, you know, because what's his name comes in and she kind of knows his son wants, she gives him, lets him go up to her son's room and take his coat and stuff like that. So
but yeah. Anyway.
This is just me sharing my love of Roberta Maxwell.
No, I love it. I love Roberta Maxwell.
An autographed photo of her. Rarely do I do this. I'm not an autograph collector, but I'm like, I need it of Roberta Maxwell.
I need this in my life.
Yeah, so she needs inventions. She's doing nothing. Come on.
No, I get it. Yeah, of course. She needs to hook it up.
Yep.
I still don't know anyone that's ever seen Popeye. I mean, on paper, Shelley Duvall, Robin Williams, like... I get it. And they made a whole set. I don't know anyone that's ever seen this movie.
We used to sing a song from it. And now I can't remember. So if you'll indulge me, sweet, sweet haven.
Sweet, sweet haven.
So we'll have to take a listen to that after.
Oh, please.
After this. So
please, sweet, sweet haven.
It's one of those.
Number 11 is, he came as the caretaker, but this hotel had its own guardians.
The Shining. Been there.
The Shining. Two Shelley Duvalls in a row. She was killing it in 1980.
1980 was her year.
Her year. Of course, The Shining, which I did just watch recently in a rare summer viewing.
Oh.
Yeah, very strange. Good job so far, Robert. Number 12 is, The Snobs Against the Slobs.
That sounds familiar. Hold on. Is that Animal House? No.
You're in the same vein.
Yeah.
A lot of comedians in this movie.
Oh, I'm not going to get it, I don't think. The Snobs versus the Slobs. 1980.
Yes.
But this, because all the movies I'm thinking are 84-ish, you know, when that became a movie trope.
I'll give you a hint.
Yeah.
Central plot and location has to do with a sport. A boring sport, according to some.
Caddyshack?
Yes, sir.
All right. Whew. Which I think is supposed to take place in Nebraska.
You're right, yeah.
Which is, even though none of it looks like.
I think it was filmed in Florida, right?
I think so, yeah. So yeah. There was a couple of L.A. Well, I know there's L.A. scenes for sure. When he's riding his bike and going to the house and stuff like that. So good old Nebraska.
You know, Caddyshack has some really great lines. That's just one movie. For whatever reason, like, I never clicked to it. I was never like, hey, let's go watch Caddyshack again. Like, I respect it. It's funny. It's just, it's not in my, like, top five comedies or anything. Yeah.
It's one of those that has some good lines. You know, I like Ted Knight. Well.
Yeah. Some great lines. Like Rodney Dangerfield stuff. It's like, oh, it's fantastic. Number 13 is Don't Count on Making It to Saturday Morning. And obviously these are,
it doesn't
have multiple taglines. This was the least obvious.
This makes me want to say Friday the 13th, but I don't recognize that as one of the normal taglines.
If you said Friday the 13th, you'd be correct.
Okay. Because usually what I remember is like they were warned, they were doomed, and on Friday the 13th, nothing will save them.
Yeah, it was clearly, I think it was the only tagline that didn't have Friday in it, but it still had a day of the week.
Now that I think I can name off every tagline verbatim for The Body Count Continues.
The body, yes. That was another one.
In terror. The Third Dimension in Terror, which was then reused, of course, multiple times with other films.
Absolutely. Yeah, that set a standard for
three times before you have felt the terror. Anyway, well, I digress. But anyway,
keep going.
Back to 1980.
Oh, and I'd Jason rather hear you do taglines.
Jason still haunts you. You're not alone.
Yes. What's number eight? Big Apple.
Big Apple, big problem.
New York has a bigger problem.
The Big Apple has a big problem or something like it. I used it in my post, I know, because it's just stupid.
And it's funny that they were clearly like, yo, it's the 80s. New York is a terrible place, so let's just play into it. New York has a new problem was one of them. Okay, next on the quiz, sir, is Hard Hat Days and Honky Tonk Nights. What a weird... weird tagline. Hard Hat Days and Honky Tonk Nights.
Oh, that sounds familiar. I want to say...
It's got our man from Grease in it.
Urban Cowboy.
Yes, sir.
I would say Urban Cowboy or The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia. But
I can see that.
Urban Cowboy, yeah.
Number 15 is, I have to do this. The tagline is the quote in the movie, and I can't say this without doing the impression, and it's a bad impression, I'm sorry. Right. But the tagline is, I am not an animal! I am a human being!
Elephant man.
I am a man!
Which the poster... The poster scared me, because...
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, it was a scary
like
poster.
Jason 2.
Yeah. Kind of creepy.
No, Robert, it's the fog. It's not the elephant.
Oh, darn it!
I'm sorry. I'm not an animal. Yes, it is the Elephant Man. Number 16 is The Man of Steel Meets His Match.
Superman 2.
You got it.
Ooh,
you got
could
it.
Wait for that.
Yeah, had to put it on.
Even though it didn't come out until 1981 in the U.S., I think. But
oh, really?
It was a 1980 film, for sure.
Well, we got a Dixie Malone's going to get fired because the intern to put this list together.
It is a 1980 film, technically, so yes.
It is a 1980 film.
Yes.
Okay. Next tagline is, what you can't see won't hurt you. It'll kill you. What you can't see won't hurt you. It'll kill you. Exclamation point.
1980. Can't see.
Emphasis on you can't see it, like touch it, but it can kill you.
This might be tough on me. I don't know.
Think John Carpenter.
Oh, the fog?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. That
kind of a weird tagline because you can see fog very clearly.
Yeah, that is true. It's right there. It's chasing me down the street. No,
it's not called the air. It's called the fog. Like, we can see it.
You can't touch it. But Mrs. Culbritz.
Next one I know you'll get because I've seen you post this, but I had to add
that
it
means
anyway.
I won't get it. Yeah.
You will. If you're not back by midnight, you won't be coming
prom
home.
Night.
Yes.
Everything.
I feel like you posted that this year.
I think I did. Yeah, it just had its anniversary, and Sean Clark just posted. He and I went to some of the locations several years
ago,
and he just went back and did a video and got a few more. So
prom night.
Everything is all right.
Everything is all right. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a mouthful. There's two more. This one is the longest tagline in the world.
All right.
She was married at 13. By the way, this isn't a tagline, folks. This isn't a description or a synopsis. This is an actual tagline.
Is it Coal Miner's Daughter?
Yes.
Thank you. That's like, all I needed.
It's like four paragraphs long.
Well, I have to hear it. I only needed the first five words, but yeah.
She was married at 13. She had four kids by the time she was 20. She's been hungry and poor. She's been loved and cheated on. She became a singer because it was the only thing she could do. She became a star because it was the only way she could do it. Is this a tagline or is this the Wikipedia entry? It's literally four sentences.
And this is how the movie ends.
And this is how the movie ends.
I love Coal Miner's Daughter.
You are a fan, aren't you?
I am a big fan.
It's a good movie.
If I have dream locations that I need to get to, it is for probably Coal Miner's Daughter.
Really?
Yeah, it is. I saw this in the theater as well. I think Grandma took me.
No way.
Yeah, so this is what I know we talked about before. I'm like, I would go see adult movies, you know, and not adult, you know, but
no,
I wasn't going to see the kiddie movies. I was going to see legitimate movies back then. So
you're a deep man.
Yeah. But so I have my Coal Miner's Son soundtrack. I still like, is it time for me to go on yet?
Do
she took my hair.
It is a good movie. I like the Coal Miner's Daughter.
Yeah.
And finally, number 20 is the music, the film, A Place Where Dreams Come True. Yes, Xanadu.
So last weekend, I saw Xanadu Jr.
Oh, I didn't even know that existed.
Neither did I. So a friend on Facebook saying her son has the lead in Xanadu Jr. And I'm like, I'm in Xanadu, you know? So I saw Xanadu the musical on Broadway like three times, I think, at least. And so Xanadu Jr. was put on by a youth dance academy. So I thought, it's going to be like an hour version of Xanadu the musical. And it was shortened a little bit because part of me is like, obviously, they took out a little bit. I mean, it wasn't a sexual Broadway show, but, you know, they made it more oriented. For sure. So these kids, so it was because it was a dance academy, it's one of those where all the kids were involved. So the original Broadway show, I think, had a cast of seven people total, you know, and I think there's supposed to be nine muses. So you can imagine there was a lot of double casting going on that they actually kind of made fun of because it was kind of this inexpensive musical. And of course, here they had 40 kids that needed to have parts and so forth. So they did a good job. And during the intermission, we were talking to them and I said, they're doing a good job, you know, for kids, you know. He's like, yeah, you know, he just, you know, the audition was 2 weeks ago. I'm like, 2 weeks ago? How do they?
Yeah. How does, what's that turnaround
time? They learn their lines, choreography, singing, dancing, whatever. I'm like,
what is this, White Christmas?
I know. It's like this happens, I guess. I don't know, but the kids did a good job. So, and her son played Sonny Malone.
Sonny Malone.
I've now met three Sonny Malones. The original Sonny Malone from 1980, Cheyenne Jackson is Sonny Malone for Xanadu on Broadway, and Xanadu Jr., Sonny Malone.
Oh, I like it. I like that you saw that.
I'm so excited to see Xanadu. I can't even tell you.
Yeah. No, you're a fan. You're a big fan. You have a great page on that, too.
Yeah, somebody just commented on it not too long ago. But They're excited to go visit these locations.
What's the next entry that you're posting? Can you give us any teaser?
I don't know what I should be working on. Let me see what I kind of have. Oh. Well, I should I should be working on some of the things that I visited for my last trip to LA, which
Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles.
I should do some updates for that. I went to a lot of Clockstopper locations, so I should probably do that.
Clockstopper.
You know, I do need to have to get the Lonely Lady done before I meet Pia Zadora at the Hollywood show.
Nice.
So I
you should. And that way you can tie it in.
All my stories for her. So there's some I probably just need to kind of get back on top of. So I don't think I made too many updates since our last thing, except for Revenge of the Stepford Wives, which I think I'd already done by the time we had done our last podcast. But just kind of working on stuff.
It's always a good time on your page. And I was looking at it earlier and I did see the you did some updates. What was the one I was looking at? I'm Matt Clark and I have all the facts.
he knows what he's talking about.
Oh, I think we already talked about it. I think it was Capricorn one. But
Yes.
We might have did it on a show, but that's always fun.
I needed to. I think the anniversary is coming up. I'm like, I better do something.
Pay your respects
for all the fan.
For all the fan. They're out there.
That did other Capricorn one locations. So I was not the first. That somebody has it in their craw.
But you're the best.
Well, he went and did the San Pedro ones, kind of the chase scenes, which I was too lazy to do. I was like, illegal
bridges run. And
yeah, it's like here's a bridge that or here's a street and nothing is the same.
But Daddy says I'm the best.
Vacation. I don't know if I should go for the 4K on that or not, but.
Good call.
Yeah.
Good call. All right. Well, that'll be our show tonight. Robert, thank you as always, sir, for taking the time.
Always good to see you.
Always good to see you,
what
too.
What was my score? No, I'm just kidding.
I didn't keep score, but it was kidding. It was above average, I think. You did very well.
Well, once I got past that first one, total fail. More or less like, what's the Star Wars sequel? I'm like, I don't know. The Phantom Menace?
There's no context. You couldn't know. There's so many.
I know. I should have.
It's too hokey to be Empire Strikes Back. You would think it would be better.
No. This time, the Empire is striking back. I'm like, I don't know.
This time, in 1980, which is the current year, the Empire, which is also the name of this movie, is striking back.
Guess the movie.
Last Jedi.
The Clone Wars.
That'll be our show, and we will see you on the set. You're with your baby.